Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 13. Let's read together in unison. We're reading from the King James Bible. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I'm going to preach this subject this morning that you can. You can. Dear God, thank you again for loving us. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for these dear folks that are here. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you bless them for their faithfulness. They've decided to be here on purpose. They didn't come here by accident. And I pray, Lord, that you just bless them and help us to pay attention, help us to listen carefully. And I pray that as we walk out of here after the sermon, that this will be a help to encourage us to do what you said that we could do. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. It's probably one of the most famous verses amongst God's people, like John 3:16 or Romans 10:13 or Romans 8:28, and many other verses in the Bible. I'm not excluding others, but this is one that was one of the first ones I memorized, to be quite honest with you, after I got saved. And it'd be good for you to memorize this verse also, to be honest with you. And I want to start picking it up in verse number 11. Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 11, because it sets the context in order here. Paul's writing, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. That means even in the state of New York, you can be content. That's hard to do if you're not right with God, though, amen. But whatever state you're in, high, low, good, bad, everything going great, everything going lousy. Paul writes, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Notice in verse 11 he's learned. Notice in verse 12, that he's instructed. And then he comes to verse number 13. He says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Very simple verse, but profound truth. Every single one of these words are so important, compacted in one verse. You start with the individual, I, yourself. The first word in this sentence, in this verse, is I. And he says, can. That's what he says. I can. Not maybe or I hope. And he doesn't say, boy, Lord willing, if it's in the word of God, God's willing. It's God's will that you come to church. It's God's will that you hand out gospel tracts. It's God's will that you live right. So it's not that Lord willing, if it's in the Bible. If it's in the word of God, it is God's will. So he says, I can. The third word is do. It's an action word. Not just in your mind. And you can think right. I'm not minimizing that this morning at all. You can get saved by believing. But the word do has more to do with doing things. A physical activity. James says to be doers of the word. He says, I can do that three-letter word. You know what it means in Greek? All means all. That's all means. Not most things. Not some things. Not the things that I'm qualified for. I can do all. And again, things. Things. These are tangible and even intangible things. You can believe the gospel. You can get saved. You can believe the word of God. You can get saved. You can get baptized. You can come to church. You can live for God. You can do that because that's what God says. All things, and here's the catch, only through Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Through Christ. Not on your own power. Not your own will. Not your own IQ, your education, your background, your intelligence. How smart you think you are. Only through Jesus Christ. I can do all things through Christ. Now, The next word is what confounds a lot of people because they say it's a mistranslation or the older manuscripts aren't right, you know, because it shouldn't be which, it should be who. You know, who tends to be a person, whereas which is a thing. But you'll find if you read a King James Bible that the Word of God is mentioned, that Jesus Christ is mentioned as the Word of God quite a few times. And Jesus Christ is personified, listen to me good, he is the Word of God personified. So it's through the Word of God that you can do all things. Not just some Jesus of a Catholic church or Jesus of a Protestant church or Jesus of a church. It's the Jesus of the King James Bible that you can do all things. Which strengtheneth me. And God will give you the strength and the power and the grace to do everything he's told you that you're able to do. That he's commanded us to do. So I can't do that, Pastor. Well, I hope you'll change your mind and you'll repent by the time this sermon's over. I can do the will of God that God has for me in my life. And not necessarily physical things, but spiritual things. I'm not discounting physical things, but I do believe the thrust of this verse, with many other verses in the Bible, is a spiritual application to our lives. It's not talking about being able to buy the most expensive house, most expensive car, or being the best athlete in the world. Too many of God's people are not doing the will of God that God has for them in their life. That's why they quit so easily, they surrender so willingly to their emotions and their feelings about being inept or being a failure. Most of God's people know nothing about enduring and persevering through hard times and trials. My Bible says you can do everything and anything that God asks of you in the Word of God. Anything and everything. Hebrews says it's impossible for God to lie. Man is a sinner, and as such, he's a liar, ladies and gentlemen. Man lies, but God is truth. This is the word of truth. The word of God is a truth. Jesus is the truth. He's the truth. This book is the will of God in your life, the entire book. If God says in the word of God that you can do it, then you can do it. The reason why believers do not believe they can is because they have talked to and have had their minds poisoned and evil affected by other doubters and backsliders and deceivers who want you to join their ranks of being a failure. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter number 3, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? It's a who, not a thing. It's not a circumstance, it's a person. Galatians 5:7, Paul writes, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? Joshua and Caleb said that they could take the promised land, but they were outvoted 10-2 by the vast majority of doubters of God's people who did not believe the word of God like Joshua and Caleb did. And so they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, funerals every day, because of God's people listening to the wrong crowd, putting fear in others about the giants in their lives who would kill them. Well, what giants do you have in your life that scare you from doing God's will? Could be a relative. Could be a friend, a pastor, a church member, a spouse, a child, a parent, someone who's backslidden, who's lukewarm, who's not serving God, and they feel guilty about not living for God, for reaching others for Jesus Christ. Most believers mock soul winners and street preachers because they're guilty of fearing the giants who mock them and laugh at them more than loving the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who died on the cross for our salvation. Most theologians and pastors mock the one book that blessed England and America more than any other book, the authorized King James Version. These traitors have evil affected the minds of God's people because God's people are afraid of believing and acting on the truth. They're nervous because of what others have said. Most of God's people are immature babes who suck on their spiritual pacifiers and are still in diapers, even though they've been saved for 10, 20, or more years. The way you grow up spiritually is to exercise your faith by loving Jesus Christ. And you show your love for God by obeying the word of God. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. God said in 1 John that his commandments are not grievous. Amen. If you love God, they're not hard. Because if you love God, you'd be willing to obey the word of God. My Bible says that perfect love casteth out fear. If you love Jesus Christ the way you ought to, then nothing is impossible. I'm not talking about walking to the moon and stuff like the ridiculous things that people throw out. I'm talking about what God says in the Bible for your life. Nothing is impossible. If God says you can do it, you can do it. All things are possible to him that believeth, Jesus said. Paul writes, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Most people do not obey the word of God because they have been convinced that it is not for them, and so therefore they can't, contrary to everything God says in the word of God. You can't do that. You can't preach that. You can't start a church without going to Bible college. You can't run buses and vans. You can't go soul winning. You can't go street preaching like that. You can't live like the way they used to 100, 200 years ago. It's 2017, Pastor. You can't control your wife and children like that anymore. You can't obey your husband like that. You can't follow a church like that. You can't dress like that. You can't walk like that. You can't give your money like that to a church and missionaries and soul-winning works. You can't listen to him. You can't stop drinking cold turkey alcohol. I don't know if it's a brand name. You can't stop cold turkey drinking alcohol, okay? Just clarify that. Because there is something about turkey, if my memory serves me correct. But I fried so many brain cells, I'm not sure if it's working correctly. But you can't stop taking drugs cold turkey because you're going to have withdrawals. You just can't turn your life around just like that. You can't change yourself. People don't change. I got news for you. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You're the one that decides you don't want to. Not that you can't. You don't want to because you can. The list goes on and on. But quitters and doubters and naysayers and the enemies of the cross. My Bible says in Philippians 4, 7, same chapter, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The reason you don't have the peace of God is because you don't want the peace of God. You could have the peace of God. It's not difficult. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 12, he asked three times for the thorn in the flesh to be taken away from him. You know what the thorn in the flesh is. If you read the Greek, it's a mother-in-law. Okay? So Paul asked God three times to take the thorn in the flesh away. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Paul can do that. He's the one who wrote Philippians 4:13. The Bible says in Isaiah 40, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint, because it's through Jesus Christ, not the flesh. James says, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only. The prayer went up. Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And that's what our prayer ought to be. Help my unbelief. We've allowed failing pastors and religious leaders tell us that these verses are contrary to the worldly teaching of self-esteem building and confidence building and worldly psychology and worldly thinking. And we have criticized the thinking of the power of positive thinking only because many of those people are not saved and do not believe the word of God. But what we have failed to realize is that God made man to be able to be persuaded and to do more than he ever thought he was possible of doing. And so it's a shame today that just like Jesus said, the children of this generation are wiser in their generation than the children of light. It's sad when I see lost people happier than God's people. It's sad when I see lost people having a winning attitude and a winning mindset while God's people have swallowed hook, line, and sinker that they can't do anything and that they're failures and they'll never amount to anything in life. It's sad when I see people who are lost, goal-oriented or aiming for more and better and higher, even if it's numbers. I don't care if it's for a business or not. While God's people have been taught by dead theologians and dead scholars and dead religious people that it's not for today or it's not for God's people. And thus God's people today are a bunch of losers in the eyes of the world, and they want nothing to do with that kind of defeatist attitude and thinking. You go ahead and tell me that it can't be done. You just tell me it can't. And I'll live the rest of my life proving that it can be done. I say it can be done. Pastor, you can't give away guns at church. Okay. Pastor, you can't say those kinds of things from the pulpit. Okay. Pastor, you don't really believe that, do you? John 15, verse 5, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Ephesians 3, 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Do you believe that? God has something prepared for you. And the devil doesn't want you to see it or get it or reach it. Sure, I know we've got heartaches. And this verse, I'm telling you, more particular speaks about spiritual matters. I'm not denying that. And we've got heartaches. We've had people in here bury their wives or their children or grandchildren or husbands. We've had people who lost loved ones at an early age. I understand that. You've gone to the funerals and the burials. But we have burdens and health problems and difficulties. We've been humiliated and persecuted and suffered. We've had trials and tragedies and tribulations and problems and roadblocks and dead ends and stumbling blocks. We've had detours and delays, being neglected, being denied, being shorted, being hurt, spouse leaving you, separated, divorced, disowned by a parent, so-called friends betraying you, children do not want to talk to you or see you again. The doctor has given you bad news. Your house is getting foreclosed. You have pain, health problems. You just got laid off. You're having problems finding a job. You're having problems paying your bills. You cannot control your spending. You feel lonely. You're bored. You're unappreciated. You feel like a failure. Guess what? Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. We live in a day and age where we have no zeal, no motivation, no courage, no joy. But God says you can have what God wants you to have. Paul, standing before Agrippa, said, I think myself happy. And by the way, you can think yourself happy. You can think on Jesus Christ. Think on these things. You can be full of joy. You can have faith. You can live a victorious Christian life. I said you can. Don't tell me your background. Don't tell me about your addictions. Tell me about Jesus. Amen. My Bible says, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart. I can't remember how it goes, the things that which God hath prepared for them that love him. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, but you got to love God. He said all things work together for good. Jesus said we could remove mountains, but we don't believe that. That's just allegorical, you know. That can't be possible today, Pastor. Peter walked on water, but we can't do that. Jesus said nothing is impossible to them that believe. I believe God can heal your body if you believe he can. You can believe that he can. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. We have limited the Holy One, like we said in the adult Bible study this morning. The one, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've limited him from working in our midst because of our own unbelief. But yet Paul writes, we are more than conquerors. You can be content with what you have and with what God has given you. You can sing while you're burning at the stake like the martyrs did during the dark ages. You can be grateful instead of being unthankful and being an ingrate. You can sing while you're having a songbook in front of you. You can be a giver instead of a user. You can be a giver instead of a taker. You can be an encourager instead of a discourager. You can lift up people instead of stomping on them when they're down. You can cheer someone up or you can depress them. You can be a helper and not a hinderer. You can be an aid to others or you can be a stumbling block. You can stop lying and you can stop exaggerating and you can stop gossiping and you can stop cheating and you can stop lying and you can stop stealing. You can. You just don't want to because the answer is Jesus Christ. But you got to love God. You got to love people to do that. You can love your enemies. Oh, I'm never going to love them. That's because you don't love Jesus. You can forgive those who hate you. Hey, David, you can't kill that giant Goliath in front of you. Hey, David, this morning. Hey, Brother David, anybody sitting in here? You got a Goliath in your life? His own brothers discouraged him. He said, David, we know the pride in your heart. We know how much pride you got. You can't go out there by yourself like that without a shield, without any armor. That's what people are going to try to tell you. You can't do this. You believe that and you'll end up just like they ended up. David, instead of believing the naysayers, his own brothers, he ran towards Goliath. David was not afraid. Perfect love casteth out fear. You can live without fear. You can live without anxiety. You can live without being anxious and nervous. You can live a calm, peaceful life because God wants you to. You can stand for that which is right, even when it's unpopular. You can stand alone, even if everyone else stands against you. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, please. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. You can't because you think you can't, and thus you won't. Or you will because you think you can, because God says you can. Now I'm going to show you some examples tonight. I don't have the time this morning, but 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, verse number 13. I memorized this verse after I got saved, one of the very first verses I memorized. And it'd be good for you to memorize this verse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. I don't care what kind of temptation you got in your life. I don't care what kind of addiction you got in your life. I don't care what kind of burdens and heartaches you got in your life. My Bible says you can take it, and God will take the curse and turn it into a blessing if you let him. And God will use that as a testimony in your life to win other people to Jesus Christ. If you believe him. You can control your temper. You can control your anger. Wives, you can be submissive and obedient to your husbands. Husbands, you can be more considerate and kinder to your wives. Children, you can obey the rules of the home. You can do well in school. You can do your homework. You can study. You can get good grades in school. You can expand your knowledge. You can gain wisdom. You can limit God, as we read this morning. That's what people do. They just limit God. They turn God off. You can say no to God. You can rebel against God. You can choose to do whatever you desire to do, but you can follow Jesus. You can tithe. You can give offerings. You can support missionaries. You can write letters to missionaries and be an encouragement to them. You can register to vote and vote against abortion promoters and against tax raisers. You can become politically involved and get rid of the globalists who want to ruin America. You can become a libertarian and support the cause of liberty for all people. You can be used of God, no matter what others think or say otherwise. God loves to take the base things of the world and to confound the things that are mighty, the Bible says, so that God gets all the glory for it and all the credit for what he's done in you and in your life, and that you won't get the credit. Remember what they said in the book of Acts and in the Gospels? These were unlearned men, uneducated men, but they took notice that they had been with Jesus. Hey, have you been with Jesus? Do people know that you've been with Jesus? Do people know that you love God and you love people and you love the Word of God? You love church? Or are we just robots going around about our daily business, acting like as if we're religious? Who can be against us if God be for us? You need to read the book of Acts. Just read the book of Acts. Jesus said, be of good cheer. How come you're not of good cheer? We ought to cheer others on, encourage others on. And even when everybody else discourages us, the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. He encouraged himself because I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You depend on people? How about depending on God? We depend on the world? How about depending on the Word of God? Jesus said, nothing shall be impossible. Every trial in life brings an opportunity to show the world how big your God is and what God can do in you and what you can do through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm never going to reconcile with so-and-so. You can. I'm never going to speak to so-and-so. You can. I'm never going to fix my marriage. You can. I'm never going to reconcile with my husband or my wife. You can. I'm never going to reconcile with my children. You can. You can train and teach your children the way the Bible says. In Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You can read your Bible. You can study your Bible. You can learn. You can memorize your Bible. You can pray. You can go soul winning. You can go to church. You can volunteer. You can sing. You can be friendly. I don't care if you grew up being grumpy. You can change and God can change you. Say, I'm not quiet. God says to study to be quiet. If God says to study to be quiet, then we can study to be quiet.
You can learn how to work. You can learn how to control your finances, your budget, even if the government doesn't know how to control money. You know, you can learn how to invest and plan ahead and set some goals and think right and meditate on the Word of God. You say, I can't, because you think you can't. You say, I can, because you think you can, or because he can. So I've ruined my life, Pastor. You don't understand. Well, my Bible says you can restore your, God can restore your life, and that God can still use you. If you're still alive and you're still breathing, God can still use you, ladies and gentlemen. God can still bless you. I don't care if you sin or not. I don't care if you ruin your life and ruin other people's lives. God can restore you. You can be forgiveness. You can be forgiven, and you can get forgiveness, and you can forgive. Jesus is waiting for you to come to him for forgiveness and mercy. You made some bad decisions in the past, and they still haunt you today, and you're suffering the results today of those bad decisions in the past. Well, God's grace is sufficient, ladies and gentlemen. And where sin doth abound, grace doth much more abound. Jesus wants you to do something before he does something. Let me repeat that. Jesus wants you to do something before he does something. You can't get saved unless you change your mind and repent. You can't get saved unless you acquiesce to God and say, God, you're right, I've been wrong. So you have to do something. You have to repent to get saved. You have to change your mind about what God said to get saved. Just telling you, Jesus wants you to do something before he does something. It's amazing. The God of creation, the Lord Jesus Christ, stood in front of the stone where Lazarus was laid dead for 4 days. You know what Jesus said? Move the stone away. I thought the man who just spoke Lazarus' name could just roll the stone away himself if he wanted to. But God wants you to do something before you see the miracle in your life. He wants you to put that little faith of a mustard seed into action. He's not going to wave a magic wand over your life just because you want him to. He wants you to do something. He wants you to believe something about this book and put it into action. He said, prepare the upper room for the feast of the unleavened bread. He said, walk around Jericho one time for 7 days straight. And then on the seventh day, walk around 7 times. He said, go dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times, Sisera. He said, Ezekiel, go preach in a valley of dry bones where no one's going to listen to you. I remember I was going to court reporting school. This is before I got saved, too. I remember I was going to court reporting school. And this is what they told me when we started court reporting school. This is 1975 now, okay? I started night school. I was going to two nights a week at school for court reporting. I was going to day classes at Rutgers University and Camden College campus. And I remember Phil Feldman, he was one of the owners and teachers of the court reporting school. And he used to say this. Well, he was a short, stout Jewish fellow, bald head, and he used to glass like this, and he used to say this. He said, if I can do it, you can do it. If I can do it, you can do it. You know what he told us when we started? He said 90% of the people who start this course drop out. He said, this is the equivalent of learning the keyboard and the theory and writing it out is the equivalent of learning about 4 to 5 different foreign languages. That's pretty intimidating, coming from a C-minus student, going to a C-minus student. But he used to say all the time in class, if I can do it, you can do it. And I sat there thinking, I said, yeah, if he can do it, why can't I do it? If he can do it, why can't I do it? That was before I got saved, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, if other people can live for God, you can live for God. You don't know the heartaches other people have overcome through the Lord Jesus Christ to be where they're at today. You see them in church, they're smiling, they're dressed right, they're smiling, they're waving their Bibles, saying amen, enjoying life. You don't know the heartaches they passed in the last 10, 20 years. The same heartaches and stuff that's going on in your life that are trying to depress you and Satan's using to discourage you. Hey, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Not through my flesh, not through my power. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you believe that? Too many people have a defeatist attitude. Oh, it's the end times. It's too hard today. This area is too Catholic. My Bible says God not willing that any should perish. God wants everyone to be saved. But God does not call lazy, defeated losers into the ministry. God does not call depressed people into the ministry. God does not call discouraged people. God calls overcomers who use obstacles as stepping stones and blow up barricades that try to stop them. God calls businessmen who are hard workers and make things happen. God calls people who can see the potential in people and in things. God does not call people who do not see the potential in everyone and in everything. You can enjoy listening to the old hymns, and you can enjoy singing the old songs that godly men and godly women wrote instead of these newfangled jingles that have no doctrine written in them, but they're only for babes who, well, they're just too boring. I want a screen with a bouncing ball. Yeah. You want to be entertained instead of obeying God and being encouragement to somebody else next to you. You can enjoy hellfire and damnation preaching if you were right with God. And if you realize how much of a sinner you really are, you can love the unlovable. You can forgive the unforgiven. You can be merciful to the unmerciful. You can be kind to those who are unkind. By the way, you can lose weight and stop eating. You just read your Bible. The obese and overweight and fat can lose weight. The gluttons can stop eating and fast. It's in the Bible. The drunks can stop drinking their booze, their beer, their wine, their liquor. The dope heads can stop smoking their weed, and they can stop using drugs. They can live a sober life. The addicted can break their habits, their addictions, without government help, without programs, and only through the Lord Jesus Christ. The gambler can stop gambling. The blasphemer can stop using God's name in vain. The lazy can learn how to get busy about working and finding a job. The excuse maker can change his thinking and stop blaming others and circumstances and start blaming himself for failing God and disbelieving God. The hypocrite can change his life to live an honest, clean life. Even the disciples told Jesus, these are hard sayings. Who can bear them? Who can hear them? Well, you can live right. You can dress right. You can do right. You can choose to do right. You can make the decision to leave that unsaved church that you used to go to that you never heard the gospel. You can separate yourself from the world like Jesus said in the Word of God. You can get rid of your perversions and start reading the pure Cambridge edition of the King James Bible. You can find an old-fashioned hellfire damnation separated Bible-believing Baptist church, independent fundamental Baptist church. You can read 5, 10, 20 chapters of the Bible each day instead of reading a little devotional that takes you 15 minutes. You can go soul winning more. You can pray more. You can be patient. You can overcome your disabilities and your handicaps. You can overcome obstacles in life. You can overcome prejudices and biases and hatred from others. You can change the company you keep. You can change the friends you have. I got the story here. You know the story of Harlan Sanders. Harlan Sanders. Dad died when he was 5 or 6 years old. Mom had to go to work, so he had to learn how to cook to feed his younger brother and sister. Yep. Failure after failure after failure after failure in his life. Failures. Mounting up. But he had a better attitude than most Baptists do. He had the attitude, I'm not going to quit. And he gave God the credit for healing a colon polyp that he had. By prayer. Well, he was 65 years old. He didn't make it until he's in his 60s. Bankrupt after bankrupt after bankrupt. Being fired or leaving a job, quitting. Failure. His wife left him with one or two kids. He went to go kidnap his kid. He stayed in the woods waiting for his kids to come out so he can take them and kidnap and bring them back to himself. They didn't come out, so his father-in-law came out on the porch. He went and talked to his father-in-law, had a good conversation, then went and talked to his wife, and they reconciled back together. You feel like quitting on everybody, don't you? You want to quit on your wife, quit on your husband, quit on your kids, quit on church, quit on God. We're a bunch of quitters today in America. Well, he's 65 years old. He talked to over 1,000 people, knocked on their doors, went with his car, with his 11 herbs and recipe of his Kentucky Fried Chicken. He went from restaurant to restaurant trying to sell his recipe. 1,000 people he talked to that said no. And I think it was the 1,009th person that said yes. And the rest, as they say, is history. But you quit after the fifth no. You quit after the first or second heartache. You surrender and just give up and walk away. You better thank God that Jesus didn't quit for the joy that was set before him beyond the cross. You better thank God he didn't stop at the cross or before the cross. You better thank God he had you in mind and me in mind when he went to that cross. And there's other people that God has in mind through us. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You can decide to be neighborly to unfriendly neighbors. You can change your perspective on life and on God and on yourself. You can stop complaining and you can stop murmuring and you can stop bickering. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." You can believe the Genesis account of creation instead of the garbage that we came from monkeys and tadpoles. That's what my doctor told my parents, that we came from monkeys. They took me to the doctor one time for a problem. They said, "Well, you know, we just came from monkeys." They said, "You know, we're evolved from animals." And that's why they're acting like a bunch of animals in schools today, because they think they're a bunch of animals. You can believe that God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ, created you and formed you and fashioned you. You can believe that God gave you breath to breathe, and it was God that gave you life. You can believe that God loves you, and the same sinless God came and died on the cross to pay for your sins. You can believe that there is a real place called hell that has real fire where the lost will spend eternity to pay for their sins. You can believe the Lord Jesus Christ before you die and ask him to save your soul from hell. You can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You can change your mind. You can repent. You can humble yourself. You can be saved. You can get baptized. You can live for God. You can live a godly, holy, separated life that is pleasing to God. I said you can. 1 Timothy 1 says, "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly." I'll remind you, while Paul's writing Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 13, he's sitting in the Philippian jail, waiting for his trial and conviction and sentence. Remember the Philippian jailer who got saved? In the midst of being in the dark and damp prison and chained to the wall, Paul was singing and preaching to the jailers. Let me ask you this, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ. When you're in the midst of a trial in your life, are you singing? Are you giving the gospel to those nearby, even your enemies? Or are you just complaining? You want to throw in a towel and quit. You want to raise up the white flag and surrender to the world and the devil. My Bible says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You are choosing to not believe that the same God who created everything out of nothing and spoke everything into existence is not powerful enough to change you. You are choosing. Or you're choosing not to allow God to change you. Are you ready to die? Are you prepared to die? You can be. You can be. I can do all things. Story is told that in Scotland, some huge eagle carried away an infant that was sleeping by the fireside in a cottage. The whole village ran after it, and the eagle soon perched itself up on one of the highest peaks there, on the cliffs there. And everybody just crying despair that the child was, you know, lost to the eagle up on this top cliff. And some sailor tried to climb up this side of the mountain here, but his strong limbs trembled, and at last he just gave up the attempt. He just couldn't do it. And then some huge Highlander, some guy who used to climb the mountains, he's used to the mountains, he tried next, and even his limbs gave way, and he fell to the bottom. And then at last, some little poor peasant woman stepped forward. She put her feet on one shelf of the rock, then on the second, and then on the third. And by the time she was done, she went all, everybody looking up at her, trembling hearts, looking on her. She rose to the very top of the cliff. While she took that baby, put in her bosom, she came down step by step. and the shouts of the villagers rang out. She stood at the bottom of the rock with the child in her hands and her bosom. So why in the world did that woman, was she able to do what these mountain men and these shepherds could not do? Because that woman was the mother of that child. And if you love God enough, you can. And if you love souls enough, you can. And if you had enough of the love of God in you, you could. You could. But you got to choose to do it. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I believe God. Let's all stand, shall we? Dear Heavenly Father, I am sick and tired of a defeatist attitude that I see across this country. I'm talking about your people, God's people. They sit in pews, they go to religious services, they're downcast, they're depressed, they're discouraged because of things and circumstances in their lives. Oh, dear God, help us like Peter, get our eyes off the water and put them on you. Lord, help us to walk all over our problems. Not because we have the power or we're smart enough or our IQ or our education. Through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Lord, help us to do all things through thee. Thank you, Lord, for these dear folks that are here this morning. I pray that you bless them. As I said earlier, they're not here by accident. They came here on purpose. And I pray, Lord, that you reward them, bless them. Lord, encourage them. Let them know that you love them. Lord, there's nothing impossible. If you said it, there's nothing impossible. If it's in the Word of God, it's not impossible. If you outlined it and gave it to us in the Word of God, it's not impossible. Help us to believe this book. Help us to have the faith to believe thy word. Bless, we ask it. I pray if there's anybody in this room that's not saved, that today would be their day of salvation. If they've never been born again, they've never trusted Jesus Christ to save their soul, may today they can be saved. I pray for folks that are saved but not been baptized in a Baptist church. I'll pray they'll come forward this morning and get baptized in a Baptist church. They can. And whatever else the need is, dear God, please meet it, please. Please meet it. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Whatever your need, you do business with God. God's people praying.